Heavenly Father, thank you for always the opportunity to be in here together here today. Thank you for the opportunity to expressing the blessings, the teaching, the edification that you're doing in our hearts, in our life, the transformation that you are doing. And we ask you that please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, you be talking to the church, be you ministering the hearts of everyone here, including myself, and Holy Spirit, touch us, transform us. Be you speaking to the church. Be you touching the hearts. Thank you, always. All the glory is yours. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to continue talking about the new series, Why Me? And today we're going to talk about a topic of controversial. I think why me, that question is going to bring a lot of controversial topics. It's always challenging these kind of topics. And I mean in the Bible. Because there are different perceptions, opinions of what it says, what it meant to say. And we just need to consider every time that we are learning about the scripture, history. There's the context of history, because that happened in real life. Context of what the author is trying to mean when he wrote something before or after that scriptures that we are reading. Always also is spiritual. So the Holy Spirit is touching our hearts through the Word of God, which is kind of like literally is God's mouth talking. That's what we believe is here. So it's a spiritual, it's going inside of your heart, your mind, and transforming you, converting you to the will and purpose of God. So that's what we believe. And we always have to try to filter every topic or every specific scripture through those filters or lens. So that way we can get the most that we can and maybe understand that everything better. So today I'm going to try, like always, try to do the best that I can. But also open your hearts, and like I say last weekend, go home, read it, study it, because I'm a human being, like you guys. And maybe I'm interpreting something incorrectly, but that's why I'm trying to always just show you the scripture, go together with you guys and say, God, you be talking to the church, not me. I don't want to say anything from my heart or from my mind, my understanding or my knowledge. I want him talking to you guys. We're just going to show you guys the scripture. Amen? Amen. Why me? Always coming to that topic. And today we are going to talk about sufferings. And sufferings, we have to talk about Job. Controversial, right? So we're going through the scripture and we're going to share some things and hopefully that opened our minds to understand what's going on and understand what God is trying to do in our life or on the life of other people. And questions that we can consider, is God punishing me for some sins that I'm doing maybe or someone is doing? Is Satan attacking me as I try to survive as a Christian? Is the preparation for a special service where I can learn to be compassionate toward others who suffer? Have I been especially selected to be tested like Job? Is my suffering the result of natural consequences for which I am not directly responsible? Do I suffer for some unknown reason? Type of question that maybe comes to our minds and saying like, is that what's happening to my life? That's what happened to my son, to my daughter. Is that what happened to my mom and dad? Is that what happened to my neighbor, to my coworker? And that's the controversial question, because sometimes, or the way that I grew up, and I don't know you guys, is kind of like, if you are a bad person or if you're doing sin, you will receive bad stuff. But if you're a good person, you will receive blessing from God. Yes or no? Okay, but I'm just going to share with you guys some scriptures inside of Job, that book, that it might be going to challenge us, saying like, is Job doing something wrong? Did he do something wrong to deserve what he received, that suffering that he went through? I'm going to throw it over there, and I'm going to leave it up to you. But I'm expecting that God, at the end of the whole thing, you guys will say, oh, okay, maybe there's something over there. Okay, opening the series, like always, is going to be in Ephesians 1, 3. You guys already know the whole scripture. I'm just going to start in 7. You guys already know about the 3 through 6. So 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of this will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I just want to share one point with you guys today. Wisdom and understanding. And the whole book of Job, we will see and learn that. But I'm not going through the whole 42 chapters. I'm just going through some of them that I want you guys to consider some of them, and hopefully that brings some light. You guys know that the book, it was written like around 1800 to 2000 years before Christ. Maybe, we don't know who was the author, we don't know exactly the time, but that's the assumption. Maybe it was during that time of the patriarchs, thank you. And that means because there's some names, there's some actions, you can see over there some things that is happening that it should be related to those times. That's why they're making those assumptions. Because you can see that he was presenting a burnt offering. How he knows that, right? Because maybe he was living in a time that people know how to present those offerings to God. That's why they kind of assume, okay, and relay also the names of the people that they're showing on the book. He say, oh, that sounds like a name of an Israelite. This one, it doesn't sound like an Israelite. It's going to be maybe from another town, another people. So, but anyway, the story starts like talking about this person and his family and his wealth that he have in his life. He have a lot of stuff, a lot of things. He have a lot of kids also. And according to scripture, they have like a feast, his children. And they will go and celebrate and all that stuff. And after every event, according to scripture, Job always present a burnt offering to God. According to scripture, it says, just in case, perhaps, there's something, some sin, or anything happened in the hearts of my children, or anything, something happened. And I just want to be clean and clear with God all the time. According to scripture, it says that he was blameless, perfect. And this is not the perfection of the world. It's talking about the perfection of him with God. That means that he was complete. He was without any sins or anything like that. He was just blameless, according to scripture. And now, the tough part, he says that God's children, or God's son, it was just presenting over there, and one of them, it was Satan, and God asked a question to Satan and says, from where you come from? I was just roaming the world, earth, you know, going around there, not doing too much. And this one is tough. The question, why? Why God is asking that question to Satan? Just put you in the place of Job. Say, man, well, you put me into that spot. I don't want to go through that. Are you considering my servant Job? How you want me to consider him is if you're protecting him. How you want me to consider him if you are providing him everything he needs. Everything he has, you're covering him right now. You're protecting him. I cannot go through that. You know that. Don't ask me that question. It kind of sounds like that. Okay. He gave permission, God, to Satan, to remove everything, all the wealth, from Job and say, let's see if he's going to be then condemning me or then refusing me or going against me, and I mean Job to God. Wow. And you guys know the story. All those things happen. Now he don't have anything. And then, again, the same scenario happened again. Are you considering my servant, Job? Man, everything is already being removed from his life. Children, wealth, everything. Everything. And now a second time, God asked the same question to Satan again. Are you considering him? He's not doing anything. He's not saying anything against me. And we remove everything. Oh, yeah. Because you didn't touch his life, you know, his body, his flesh. Remove that protection. And you will see that he will condemn you. Okay. Pay attention. Really important. Okay. Touch his body. Skin to skin. But do not touch his life. Because life is more important than your body. You know that. Jesus Christ talked about it. And that happened. And now he's sick. What the scripture says about that? He say in Job 1:20, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Another practice that he kind of like, okay, how he knows that he needs to do that? So, correlation of why people make assumptions of the time. Shave his head, then he fell to the ground in worship and say, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Wow. What will be your and my first response if we go through that? Thank you. Why me? I didn't do anything wrong. Right? Because that's the way that we grew, learning if you're a good person, everything good will happen. Blessings and beautiful things. If you're a bad person, bad things are going to happen. Consequences. That's the way that you and I know, and that's the knowledge and wisdom that we have from the earth, that that's going to happen. But this case is kind of a little bit different. So he present to God this. His heart, his life. He lost everything, and now he's sick. And he's saying, I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make God responsible of these things. Why he's doing it, I don't know. But he trusts God. And I just want you to guys consider these scriptures, please. Hallelujah. Number one, some people, some theologians or scholars or teachers, because they use the scripture, that it says that when bad people are doing something wrong, they receive bad stuff. When good people do good things, they will receive good things. They're trying to find out the answer for that. And they say, well, the only thing that you can see in between 1 and maybe 7 around there, and I mean chapter 1 through 7, is that he's presenting burnt offering on behalf of his children. These, in the assumptions of the time, they're thinking or we're thinking that is before the law. He's doing this in the time of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, before the law, before Moses. So now, the law, because it was after, it says that if you don't have a role, a responsibility as a priest to present an offering on behalf of a people, you're not supposed to do that, the scripture says. Because it's supposed to be the responsibility and role of the priest in that moment. Now, this is happening before that. And he's doing it on behalf of his children, just perhaps. That's the other point that they are thinking. They are considering, they say, perhaps it's bringing doubt. You cannot have doubt on your heart. And we can use another scriptures about the doubt. You cannot doubt. You have to be trustworthy to God and continue believing and have conviction that God is going to take care of you. It's true. We agree on that. I'm just trying to present to you guys what theologians and scholars out there are thinking to justify why Job was going through this suffering and that he was doing something wrong. And after that, he then faced his wife. You guys know that. Wow. The second thing is happening to your life, to your flesh, to your body. Condemn your God or, you know, die. Your woman. The heart of this man, it was, I think, in another level. Because his priority, it was not to say anything wrong doing to God. Or anything wrong to God. He was not blaming God at all. And I believe that's what God is wanting to teach us today. That when we ask him those questions and say, why me? It's not because of because we're doing maybe something wrong, or maybe because it's God doing something wrong with us. But we will learn some great blessings over here. After this situation, now he's facing three friends. You know those friends? Sorry, and help me over here. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Thank you. I just want to make sure of the pronunciation. Those three friends show up. Nice friends. Always consider that, to have good friends like them to show up. Spend 7 days in silence with you. They also break the robe, and they went through the whole process with him. 7 days. They were doing good. After 7 days, I don't know. We'll see. Because then they start pressuring him about, I think you did something wrong, Job. I think there's something wrong that you did and you need to ask for forgiveness. And the other one says, I think your children were really bad. And we have to ask God to forgive those things. Let's consider three things over here. Number one, 7 days. They were over there. 7 days in silence. The first one, Job 4:7. This is Eliphaz. Appeals to vision and personal experiences. Consider now who, being innocent, has ever perished. This is his friend talking to him. Where were the upright ever destroyed? Eliphaz, the first one. This is showing his belief that Job must have sinned to deserve his suffering. The intentions maybe from him, it was to offer counsel based on tradition and personal experiences. He assumes suffering comes from sin. The second one, Bildad, Job 8:3-4. Does God pervert justice? If your children have sinned against him, he gave them over to the penalty of their sin. His goal is to uphold God's justice, but he ends up being harsh and simplistic. Maybe the intention that he had was to defend God's justice by appealing to ancient wisdom. He insists that Job's children die because they sin. The third one so far. Job 11:6. Know this. God has even forgotten some of your sin. This is him talking to Job. So far, approach is blunt and unforgiving. He believes Job deserves even worse. Maybe his intentions were to rebuke Job and pressure him to repent. He accuses Job of lying about his innocence. Consider those three friends sharing that information. I don't know you, but at least I have that experience. I don't know if you're going to last longer as a Christian. Friends telling me. Because they knew me before Christ and now Christ. They say, I don't know. Well, praise God, all the glory to him. 20 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. And continue until the end. So the same thing. We have friends that sometimes they might come with a good intention, but I don't know if it's with the good heart or the good purpose and will of God, the good wisdom and understanding from God, not from your traditions or experience in the past, because every situation or case are different. And God knows what is the situation. Sometimes we don't know. And sometimes we correlate. This happened in the past with my friend Joey, and because it's happened to me, to him, I don't know, I think it's going to happen to you too. I don't know. We don't know. God has purpose and wills differently for each person. The same thing over here. The three friends were sharing that, and now he has a fourth friend. This one is kind of a little bit better. And this one is Elihu. So he present to God differently. And in the scripture, we can go to 32:2-3. But Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, became very angry with Job for justifying himself rather than God. He was also angry with the three friends because they had found no way to refute Job and yet had condemned him. You did this because you did something wrong. You are getting what you deserve. But this friend have a different type of mentality. Now he's presenting with a different intentions. Number one, he's showing his anger towards the situation of these three friends to Job. But also, he's showing a balanced view. He acknowledged Job's suffering, but says it may have a deeper purpose. God-centered, he consistently glorifies God's wisdom and justice, not human logic. He did not condemn, unlike the other three friends. God does not rebuke Elihu, which suggests his perspective aligns more closely with divine truth. So different perspective from this friend. Now he's saying, maybe God is doing something in your life. It's not that you did something wrong. It is because maybe there's some purpose over there. Maybe there's some build-up, some edification in your life. Maybe you're going to help someone in the future, but you have to go through this situation. And you and I, over here on the earth, we say, I don't want to go through that. So what is most important for you and for me? Not suffering, because the understanding that we have in our mind, or maybe anyway suffering because it's God's purpose in our life to go through something because he knows what he wants to do, that you and I, we maybe don't understand. And that's why God wants us to have his wisdom and understanding, so that way we can understand his purpose and will in our life. And when we're going through those sufferings, we will just manage it steady, in conviction, and trustworthy of him. Now what happened? Job started asking him, explain me, why me? What's going on over here? I have these three friends tell me this, and now I have this one telling me another story. What's going on over here? And God show up in a whirlwind and start talking to him. Whoo, here we go. Here we go. Let's start with Job. Hallelujah. I believe he's 38. You have 38 over there, right? Yeah, thank you. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Our Father God. Stand up, put your pants in your place, and hold it, because I'm going to start questioning you now. Go back, Jaili. I think it's 32, right? What was the other one? Where then does wisdom, where does understanding dwell? And he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and notions evil, is understanding. So God started talking to him and say, in 38:3, like we were sharing, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. And this is God talking. Let's go to 38:1. You have 38:1? No? Okay, sorry. I will go there. 38:1. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans? With words without knowledge. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Now, God started talking to him and say, who are you? Where were you when I was building and constructing and creating everything in the world? And then he presented two different, I will say, mystical animals. Behemoth and Leviathan. Leviathan, sorry, thank you. I love you guys. Two different mystical creatures. Now, are they real? I don't know. I never saw them, so I cannot tell you if they're real or not. Now, if God is using those animals as a representation to something that he wants to show Job, I don't know, maybe they might be real. Because I don't think God will talk to a human being and say, like this animal, and the guy will say, I don't know what animal you're talking about. How I can correlate or use that as a reference? Maybe Job already know which animals he was talking about, so that way he can reference that and correlate it. And now these two animals, he say they're massive, big, powerful. They can create a chaos really quick. They are my creation. God talking, not me. They are my creation. They are my animals. I create them. They are too powerful and big, more than you, Job. And they sustain to my creation, to my order. So God was showing him an example of, you are here, this big animal is over here, and I created it. Take it easy. Calm down. Because you cannot judge me, God, for the creation or the purpose of the will that I have in my world. Because when you start questioning God, why me? Wait a second. Who are you to question me? These two animals that I created, they're more powerful than you. And I mean in the sense of creating chaos and really powerful. And we can go through the scripture that it says, just a small description from them, Job 40:8-9. Job 40:15-16. Look at Behemoth, which I made alone with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength it has and its loins. What power in the muscles of its belly. And when you go to Job 41:1-10, one says, can you pull the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? Kenny, I don't think we can manage this fish. Number 10, it says, no one is fierce enough to rouse it. Who then is able to stand against me? God talking to Job. And then when we go through the scripture, in Job 40:8-9, now this is God talking also to Job and say, will you discredit my justice? Will you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God, and can your voice thunder like this? I don't know how you guys are taking this scripture, but it's mean like, don't talk to me like that. You are blameless, perfect. Everything he got to remove out of your life, including your body is having a sickness right now. But you still have a life internally, which is the most important life. That's the most valuable for God. And he said, don't say anything. Hold it. God used this as a representation of, let me teach you so that way you can understand that it is me doing something in your life. If you've seen or not, I know it's tough. I know. The Lord said to Job in 40:1, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. 41:10-11. No one is fierce enough to rouse it. When then is able to stand against me? The next one. Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to? Okay. I love you. Whatever you want to do. We just need to get the understanding and will of God in our heart and our life. And again, we make assumptions sometimes. That's why he's receiving what he's receiving. Be careful. Oh, that church is growing because of this, this, and that. I don't know. Who knows? That church is not growing because this, this, and that. I don't know. Let's just continue moving in faith and trusting him. Conviction. He have it. He have control. We trust in him. We love him. Let's just be careful. I'm just using this as a reference. It's the Bible. And we're going to get to this point, the most beautiful part, 42. Let's go to 42. Job 42. So I take you to the whole journey to get to this point. 42:1. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. Now it's nice. I understand now. I get the wisdom that you're trying to impart in my life. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Thank you. You ask, who is this that obscures my plans with knowledge? Surely, I spoke of things I did not understand. I understand it. Things too wonderful for me to know. You say, listen now, and I will speak, God. I will question you, and you shall answer me. This is a repetition of what I already shared with you guys. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Please take that one, put it in your heart, and live with that one. Because sometimes we heard God is doing this, or God did something over there with someone, or I don't know. But it's a different thing to see God working in your life than just listening. He heard, blameless, perfect, according to Scripture, he heard about God. Now I can see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. He heard, now he can see him. Now here we go, number 7. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry. Oh, okay. Now we have an angry God here. With you and your two friends. Now he's angry with the three friends. So now you already know, and I already know, and we learn here today, what was the point of view or intentions of those three friends. And God was angry with them. So now we can use those three friends' intentions and say, I have to be careful with that. Because I don't want to get God angry. Because God was angry of them, whatever they were doing to Job. According to Scripture, it says, I am angry with you and your two friends. Because you have not spoken the truth about me. What about now? What we can do now? Remember, the friends, maybe you sin, and that's why you're receiving what you're receiving. Maybe your children sin, that's why they receive what they receive. According to the Scripture, God is saying, that's not my truth. Why that happened? I don't know. Why me? I don't know. But then he say, as my servant Job has. Oh, so then let me study what he did, Job, and let me replicate it in my life. Because that means, in other words, that's the truth of God spoken. Silence. Don't say anything that God did in your life or he's doing in another life person when we don't know what's going on. We don't know. And then he gave some guidance. 8. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourself. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. What a beautiful thing. Now God is giving some instruction and say, take these animals, present a burnt offering so that way you can be clean. Mercy. Love you. Thank you for that. Merciful God. That's amazing. But you can see who he is giving the blessing to do the burnt offering. Job. You and I think our responsibility over here is going to be receiving God's will any way we might be in our knowledge and understanding from the earth. We don't get it. We don't understand it. Because his will and understanding is different than the one that you and I know here on earth. And that will and understanding from him is for his glory. It's for his purpose. My servant Job will pray for you. You have not spoken the truth about me, after the sentence that says, to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhinite, and so forth, the Naamite, did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Hallelujah. 10, after Job had prayed for his friend, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. Hallelujah. Now he duplicate everything. Why? Because Job stand firm and did not say anything wrong to God. Anyway, he was going through the suffering. Your sufferings, my sufferings are different. Each of us have different sufferings. But whatever sufferings you and I were going through, I'm sure in the Bible says that you can handle them. You can manage them. He will not give you more than you can handle. Thank you. Appreciate it. But those sufferings, sometimes you and I, me too, I ask questions. Why? Because in that understanding that we have, we always think, I did something wrong. Not necessarily, maybe. Maybe, yeah. Maybe no, I don't know. Because then we can go through the scripture, and I don't want to take you out of this one. For example, 37, God talked to my heart one time. I was praying, and he gave me this one, and I will share with you guys. 37:1. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's it. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. I don't know. We see here that the evil will receive that. The good will receive good things. But with Job, it was kind of a little bit different. So that's why we have to be careful. I'm just saying, just be careful. because every case is different. John 9, 1 through 3. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Right? This person is possessed. This person have this. This person is having this sickness. This person is saying, "There should be sin. There's some generational stuff going on." Maybe. Maybe. Because it's biblical, but there's some other stuff that maybe not. And that's the part that I'm just saying, be careful. Because according to this one, he say, neither this man nor his parents sin. And why he's blind? The disciples kind of asking that question. Say, Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. It's him. It's all for his glory. That person born blind, I don't know how many years, it doesn't say over there, whatever years he was spending as a blind, it was just for that fulfillment of that moment that Jesus Christ was there, boom, received the sight. So God will glorify. Who are you and me to say something against of what was happening over there or in other people? Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Matthew 25:40, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these least or the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Ephesians 1:17, going back over there. See what Paul is writing to these people. And we will share this on the small group. 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. We need the wisdom, the revelation from God. That spirit will show him better. We will understand God better and his purpose and will. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I'm going to leave you with this one. Isaiah 29:13. Hallelujah. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules. They have been taught. That's why you and I learn. I know. I've been there. I'm another one. And we learn things over here on the earth. Maybe some of them they were inspired by God. Maybe there's other ones that maybe not. And again, sorry for the redundancy. It's just to consider those things and be careful. That's it. Because at the end of the day, what God wants, 14, therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. The one over here on the earth. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? Nobody know. Nobody see me. You turn things upside down as if the potter were taught to be like the clay. Show what is formed, say to the one who formed it. You did not make me. be careful. Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? This is literally a person talking to God. And we already saw the story of Job. What happened? Sufferings. Just be careful. Maybe God himself is the standard of justice. His justice. And if he's doing something in our life, who we are. We're just going to continue moving forward according to his will and purpose, receiving his understanding and knowledge, intelligence, and that will help us to be with the heart and mind according to his will. That will bring the unify that it was talking in Ephesians. Sorry, I'm going back over there really quick. Ephesians 1, the beginning. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's his purpose, that's his will. He wants to bring unity. Unity between everything on earth and also in heaven. But we need to get that understanding of his purpose and will. God bless you. Hallelujah. I love this. Sorry. Because that's giving you a little bit of strength, his word, and more understanding to continue living the life according to his will and purpose. So we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that he will continue blessing our life, that he will continue teaching us and understanding that any way that we're going through sufferings, or maybe other people near to us, closer to us, are going through sufferings, we don't know for what or why, but we will be sustaining and giving support to them and also to us to bring unity, to glorify God. He wants to glorify somehow in our life. Let him do the work. Let him be justice. Not me asking him, why you're doing this to me? Or why this is happening to me? He will glorify himself. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, God. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. And thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.